Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Text 51551. Drive Time on RTE Radio 1.
Well, we're staying on that topic now because Ireland face Greece tomorrow night in their second UEFA Nations League game following a humbling defeat to England on Saturday. According to UEFA requirements, the head coach is expected to talk to the media on the day before the game. However, this morning, assistant coach John O'Shea attended the media briefing but was at pains to make it clear he is not in the leading role. He said, "The boss is the boss and there are clear lines on that. This is the plan that was in place beforehand and we felt there was no reason to change it." Well, we're joined now by RTE football pundit and former Ireland captain Kenny Cunningham to discuss all of this. And Kenny, you're very welcome to the programme this evening. This is the plan and that the plan that was in place beforehand, we felt no reason to change it. Maybe they should have changed it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it was a mistake, Sarah, to be honest with you. In terms of how they've handled this week, the management team was really looking forward to both of these games, and in particular, how the new manager would kind of... how he saw things, what he was going to change, his tactical setup. I think that we were all looking forward to that. We're all interested in seeing how he was going to shape things up. But yeah, it was a big disappointment to hear he kind of handed that responsibility to John and Paddy McCarthy. I thought it was very unusual. Mm. I was really scratching my head. I mean, they had about 4 or 5 days lead up to this game. And in international football, sir, that's as pretty much as long as you're going to get, unless you're very lucky to get a big camp in the summer. But those opportunities are few and far between. So 4 days on the training pitch with the players, plenty of time to do some video analysis in the hotel room. That's as much time as you're going to get. So I was really surprised to hear the manager say that he'd handed that responsibility to John and Paddy, because I think as a player in that squad, I would have wanted to have heard what the new manager had to say, what he wanted us to do, a clean broom to a certain extent. And so to not to hear that kind of information from the manager and to be told, well, look, John and Paddy's taking it this week, you're probably best directing your questions towards them. I don't think that was the right start. It really surprised me.
Is there any possibility that, you know, he's saying in his own head, you know, he's still forming his view on the players and how they're playing and what needs to change, and he doesn't want to be put in a position where he has to answer questions on that yet, because maybe those views aren't fully formed?
No, he's had enough time. He wasn't parachuted into the job 48 hours ago, Sarah. You know, he's been in the job for 2 months, so I would have thought he's been using that time. He's probably watched at least the last 20 to 30 of these games, international games. I would have thought so. So in terms of the actual individual qualities of the players, their strengths and weaknesses, he would have seen that on video footage. Now, I understand he won't have met the players personally and he won't have formed opinions in terms of their personality and their maybe characters, etc. But in terms of the qualities which they have as footballers, I'm sure he would have known on that. So if I was him, I'd be personally going to the training pitch and set the team up in the way I wanted to.
Come on, Kenny, come on, because if he did, you'd be picking holes in what he said straight off the bat.
But he's a manager. He's only had
4 or 5 days, for God's sake. What we know about him is that he's steady, he's calm, he's independent. You know, and this is what he is doing now. He's saying, I'm my own man.
He's abdicated responsibility to his coach and staff. He's not a piñata
for you and the likes of you to take pots at him after his first interview.
I'm entitled to an opinion. I'm not particularly taking a pot at him. I'm giving an opinion and I'm very surprised. I've never heard anything like it before. A manager going to an international camp 4 days lead up to a game and saying, look, I'm not going to take responsibility for the setup of the team. He's the manager of the team.
Maybe this is what we need. Somebody who's independent, who's calm, who's
steady. We should have given the job. Well, give the job to John O'Shea. Leave him in his dentist surgery back in Iceland and let John take on the job.
Kenny,
if you're going to ask John O'Shea to pick it, but this is what's happening.
If you're going to say this when he's not doing an interview, imagine what you'd say when he did do an interview.
Well, then you could analyse it.
I'm not saying because he didn't give an interview. I'm saying because he's come out publicly and said, I'm not responsible for how the team played today
One match in charge.
Yeah, it's his first match and everybody came to that stadium wanting to see something different. Well, how is the manager going to set up the team? Which individuals will he choose? What partnerships? Are we going to see something different? This is why the new manager has been brought in. Otherwise, why make the change?
If he does the same thing against Greece tomorrow... In terms of media interviews, right? If he does the same thing against Greece tomorrow, where do you stand? Will you ramp up your criticism?
I'm not talking about media interviews. I think he should have fronted out. I'm not talking about the fact he didn't turn up for an interview. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the fact he's come out publicly and said, I didn't pick that team for the game against England. Now, if 4 days wasn't enough time to pick the team, Cormac, for the game against England, he's not going to pick the team for the game against Greece, because he only has basically 3 days mm-hmm. preparation time for that. And one of them is going to be recovery day. So logic dictates he's not going to pick the team for the Greece game either, so he hasn't had enough time for that.
Okay.
So where does that leave us? Like, in terms of fans and people watching on, supporters, where does that leave us? Who's not picking teams?
Well, the Irish manager,
yeah,
by his own admission, has come out and said he hasn't picked a team. That's really stunned me, to be honest with you. It really has. So if we come out, hopefully we'll get a result against Greece. I'm not too sure anything's going to change for the reasons that I've said. Hopefully we will. Hopefully we get a bounce and maybe we'll get a result from that game. We'll move on. Of course, he's going to take responsibility and step in at some point and dictate how we're going to play and who's going to play. Don't get me wrong. I'm just absolutely amazed he hasn't done that a week ago in the lead up to the game against England and start bedding down the system and play, which is going to persist with going forward, and the players can grow into and gain a bit of confidence with going forward.
Yeah, so that's what I want to ask you about. Is it from the point of view of the players, what message does that send to them, do you think, Kenny, when they don't see their manager coming out and answering questions? Or does it send any message to them?
Yeah, but if I was a player, I'd be looking forward to the manager coming into the dressing. I'd be looking forward to hear what he has to say, because all of those players are ambitious. They want to play at major championships. So a new manager coming in, you're listening to him, you're thinking, what does he have to say? You know, what skill sets has he got? Is he going to make us better? Is he going to make us more competitive? Is he going to take us to a major championship? But if the manager comes in the very first day and says, listen, lads, for the next 3 or 4 days, I need you to direct those questions towards John and Paddy McCarthy, because I'm not going to take responsibility.
I do see very clearly your
point of view.
I do see your point of view without doubt. Can I ask you about something else which is causing so much of a stir? Even the Taunus has spoken about it. Let me read you one text, Kenny, which encapsulates it all. The booing against the English national anthem was a disgrace and just demonstrates where we as a nation are headed. It wouldn't happen at a rugby match. What did you think of the booing?
It surprised me a little bit, Cormac, to be honest with you. I was a little bit saddened there, but I must be honest with you. I can't remember a time going to an Ireland game or even actually playing when I played. I played for about 10 years. I don't remember an Irish football and public booing an opposition anthem. And I actually thought it was always a real touch of class on behalf of the Irish supporters. No other country does it. You know, it's kind of accepted now. You boo the opposition anthem. That's just the way it is. You're disrespectful as you can. You make it, you know, a joke of it, whatever. We never did that. We never went down that road. And I'd always took a lot of pride in that. I thought it was a real touch of class on behalf of the Irish supporters. We know the kind of history between the countries, et cetera, et cetera. But even still, I was a little bit saddened by it. I've got to be honest with you. Just a dignified silence. Yeah, I just thought a dignified silence while the English national anthem was being played would have been the better.
Yeah,
I think so.
Do you think the FAI needs to come out and say something about it?
I wouldn't be like banging the drum and making it into a huge issue. I'm a big believer in people who come to a game of football entitled to have their opinions. If people want to boo, they're perfectly entitled to do
not
so.
Not a national anthem, though, surely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you're entitled. Yeah, free speech. Of course you're entitled to do it. Well, where do you draw the line there? You're not allowed to build a national anthem. You're not allowed to have an opinion at all. Like, so no, you can't draw the line there. People want to come and build. They pay their ticket. They're entitled to do that. I just don't agree with it. And I was kind of saddened by it. I spent most of my life over in England and my professional career. And I've had a huge amount of support, Cormac, over here by the English football and public. Mm-hmm. English fans over here, generally, as much as they love their national team, if you're to ask 9 out of 10 of them who they'd support, apart from their own national team, they'd probably say the Irish team. They'd row in behind. Okay. There's always been real genuine affection for the Irish national team over here by the general English population. I've experienced that, and I've kind of felt that over the last 20 years.
Kenny,
so
look, it's been
that's
fascinating.
Where I'm coming from.
It's been fascinating to talk to you, and thanks for joining us to give us your thoughts on this. Really interested to hear from listeners as well to 51551. Kenny Cunningham, thank you very much.